Shavuot Tov. We're in Hilchos Shabbos, Perek Gimel, Halacha Yud Beis. So just to get a sense of what the Rambam's going to focus now on for the next few halachas, is we've been dealing with standard cases of bishul. And remember, in halacha, normally speaking, bishul refers to cooking things with water. He wasn't really dealing much with let's say roasting or with baking, which he's going to get to. But first, he has to cover one other point, which is and always keep in mind the whole purpose of the restrictions placed by Chazal on cooking before Shabbos is that we don't want a person to stoke the coals. So ultimately, it's the stoking the coals, the chance of a person doing that, that will determine what's permitted and what's not. So an example is going to be of something that cooks quickly. So for instance, in Halacha Yud Beis, the Rambam says, Lo yimale adam kdera asasios v'tormasin ochav v'shamayim. Okay, v'yitein l'toch hatanor erev Shabbos im chashecha v'yishah osam. All right, so a person can't, for instance, fill up a pot with like peas or a jug of water and put it into the tanor on erev Shabbos and leave it there. Why? She'elu v'chol kliyotze behem. Because these types of things, afal pi shelo bishul kol ikker ketafshio shelo bishul kol tzorchohen, meish einan strichem bishul harbe, v'daito alein l'achol l'altar. Right? So what's the problem? The problem is that even though these things are raw, okay, at their beginning, because remember, something raw, it's permitted to put it into the oven, let's say, before Shabbos. But these things, even though they're not cooked, okay, they're considered as if they're always in a state of bishul kol tzorcho because they cook very quickly. And as a result, what's going to happen is a person's going to pay very, very close attention to him. Levikach asur lashos ha-metaner. Therefore, you can't leave him there. Vim avar v'shah asurin ad Moshe Shabbos yamti mechdei sheyasu. So these are things that that cook very, very quickly. So something cooks very quickly, in a sense, halachically speaking, it has a status as if it's bishul kol tzorcho, and therefore you wouldn't be allowed to put it into the tanor on Erev Shabbos. So that's for fast cooking things. Something to keep in mind. That's a good question. okay. Now, the next issue is going to be now roasting. Okay, so these cases will involve putting it into one of those sealed or mostly sealed ovens. So Lachyad Gimel, he explains, Tanur shenasan l'socho basar mibod yom, v'sha osa b'shabbos. So what's the case? The case is you want to roast meat inside this oven, and you start it before Shabbos. So now the question is going to be, again, it's all about, will the guy stoke the coals? So it depends what kind of meat it is. Im basar gadis, if it's the meat of a kid, who chiyotzebo mutter, right? Shim yachte b'gecholam, yischarech a basar, sh'enotzarech ele chamimus ha'esh v'vad. So there's certain kinds of meats where, I guess we'll say they're very tender. And the thing is, the person's not going to want to stoke the coals. In other words, he's happy, so to speak, with the level of heat that's coming from the oven. He's not going to want to stoke the coals. So any case where the person roasting the meat and these types of meat, which are ones where we know stoking the coals, which would make the fire greater, would be a problem in the cooking process, then it's mutter to cook that meat, to roast it. However, vim basar eis or basar shor, who aser shem yachta b'chal navasho. But if it's this kind of meat, let's say normal meat, I would say, or firmer meat, okay, then it's a problem. Okay, v'im tach piyatonar b'tit mutter. Okay, but let's say he seals the oven off completely. Okay, then it's mutter. Why? Shimba liftoach hatanor v'lachdos tikanes haruach v'yiskashe habasar v'yisad v'yitztanen hatanor. Now, if the guy seals the oven before Shabbos starts, in other words, he puts the meat in, okay, to roast, and then seals it, so what does that indicate? What it indicates is he wants the heat to stay the way it is. Because if he went ahead and opened up the tanor, right, what's going to happen? Wind is going to go inside. It's going to make the fire greater than what he has initially, and then it's going to cause the meat to be destroyed. So if the guy does something, if there's a certain irony here, if the guy does something in the tanor to indicate his das is one where he doesn't want to go ahead and stoke the coals, which would be in this case sealing off the oven, okay, then it's mutter for him to put any type of meat in there on Erev Shabbos for roasting, okay? And that's a general principle, as the Rambam says in Lach Yadal. V'chein kol davar sheruach mafsedes oso, right? Ein goes in a love shema yigaleo v'yachta. Anything where if the wind coming in would be something that would, what do you call it? In other words, if he opened it up, it would go ahead and spoil it because it would increase the fire, then it's 100% mutter. And that's why you could put these like these strands of flax inside an oven, okay, to be bleached over Shabbos, meaning starting an Erev Shabbos, because if I opened up the oven, what would end up happening is that the wind would come inside and would get destroyed. So now we have another variable here, which is, again, something where if the wind was able to get in. Now, again, today we don't really have that issue because we cook inside. But the point is that if it's something, if you were outside for sure, if the wind getting in would make it a prop, would ruin the food, then it's mutter to do. Okay, halacha tesvav. Okay, one more qualification. Nasan gedi shalem l'tocha tanor, harehu kibasar aids, kibasar shor. Now, if a guy puts an entire kid inside the oven, then it's considered like normal meat, like basar aids or basar shor. V'asul ashoso shem yachte b'chalam al imkein tacha tanor. Fine. However, and this is why he's bringing it in. Mutter l'shal shal keves apesach l'tanor im chashecha v'af bish enotach neish b'nei chabur azrizin hein. Interesting. So the one exception to this whole rule is that you're allowed to put the korban pesach inside the oven on erev Shabbos. Okay, even if I don't seal off the oven, because we're gonna since we know that we're gonna have to be eating the korban, right? So everyone's gonna be very very careful with it, meaning. The mitzvah of Korban Pesach will ensure, and the fact that we have to be very careful how it's roasted, will be sure, don't yell at me, but we'll be sure that people will not go ahead and stoke the coals. So there's a certain zrizus that exists because of the mitzvah of Korban Pesach, where Chazal won't step in and not allow this to take place. So this is where the d'oraisa of having the Korban Pesach pushes away the d'rabbanan of, stoking the coals is an issue d'oraisa, but this d'rabbanan gzera, okay? Okay, halacha tezayim. Okay, ein solom basar u'batzal u'beitza agabe esh elo kedei sheyatzu ibod yom v'yuroyin la'achila. Okay, so now, the difference here is, whereas in the other cases we're talking about roasting inside the oven, this is where you're let's say you have a spit over a fire, okay? So in these cases, you're not allowed to go ahead and roast things like this on top of a fire, okay, but they have to be roasted before Shabbos and be roy lachila. Vim nisharu achachach ala eish b'Shabbos ad shitzu lo harbe mutter, right? But if they stayed for a long time on Shabbos until they were really, really roasted, it's mutter neshehem kimitznamik v'rolo, right? Because it just makes it worse. Meaning, again, let's picture this from a barbecue standpoint. If you already have like if the thing's already cooked, well done. If you keep going, if you keep roasting it or barbecuing past well done, it's just going to make it worse. Shem yachde yachrochosan sha'al guf guf eishem, right? Because if I stoke the coals, it's going to make it worse because these things are on top of the fire. Umneize manichin mugmar tachas akelim im chashecha shem yachde begecholim yisar from mugmar v'yashan akelim. And that's why it's mutter to put incense underneath clothes on Erev Shabbos, because if a person stoked the coals, what would happen? It would end up in a sense, smoking and destroying the smell of the clothes. Notice another thing the Rambam's doing here, where the Rambam's showing you that Shema Yachdes HaGecholim, the stoking the coals, is not a prohibition, it's not a concern that they limited simply to cooking, but there are other areas as well, where this can apply as well to any situation involving malacha, or involving something that a guy wants to do using fire, that the concern of stoking the coals could or could not exist. So that's why he says in Lachi Yud Zayin, Halo manat shekol davarsh anu osrin be'inyan zeh, anything that Chazal prohibit in this area, eino asr mishim shehu naseh b'Shabbos, right? Elok zim b'shem yachteh b'cholam. So again, he repeats himself. It's important to understand that everything here that's asr to do, right? It's not asr because the malacha is being done in Shabbos. Rather, it's a gzera. The gzera is, we're concerned, the guy will go ahead and stoke the coals. Lefikach einosin semer liyora, ela imkin haisa akura mal ei shema yachta b'cholim, v'ushie pia tuach betit shema yagis ba mi shechashecha. So if another example is that putting pieces of wool, okay, into a yoras of vat, right, that's going to go ahead and ultimately dye them, okay? So again, the problem is that what's a person normally do when he dyes wool? He'll stoke the coals. So, but of course, if it's, right, so again, the same thing can apply by these cases as well. So what the Rambam's emphasizing is that don't think this is just an issue by Bischel. This can apply to even other scenarios. Okay, now it's time for baking. How about baking? Are you allowed to bake on Erev Shabbos, knowing full well that the stuff will that the bread won't be ready until Shabbos? Okay. Now keep in mind, what makes bread a little bit different is whereas by meat, so by meat we're taking the meat's always meat. We're just taking the quality of edibility and then applying it to it and then determining the level of edibility that exists. But bread's a little bit different, as we know, because dough and bread are not the same thing. It's a whole new product that's produced. So the halacha says like this: Ein nos en es apas betonim chashecha v'lo chara al gabei chachalim ela kadeshi karmu panea shehim mudbakim betonor beish. Okay, so you cannot put dough into the oven on Erev Shabbos. In other words, that's what they're talking about here. Unless, right, the outside was beginning to crust. Karmu panea is also used by, for those who've done psachim, by dough in reference to matzah as well, which is a question of, at that point, whether it's becoming chametz. So here it means, basically, like a crust is forming on the outside, right, that's stuck to the side of the tanner, okay? Vim nishara acharkach ach yikmur af yasan mutter, right? Shim yachde yasad osan. So if at that point, in other words, meaning if already it was crusted, okay, again, an outer crust had been formed, and you left it in there, so then it's going to be mutter to have in Shabbos, because the guy's not going to want to stoke the coals, because in stoking the coals, it'll ruin it. Okay, v'im nasan samach lechashecha v'chashcha v'dayin lo kamer panea. But let's say he put the dough into the oven before nightfall, and it had not crusted yet, okay? Again, same thing. Im b'mezit aser lechol mena motzei Shabbos yantiv b'chadesh yasu. If he did it on purpose, it's aser to eat it until motzei Shabbos, and he has to wait until the amount of time it would take for the bread to bake. V'im b'shogeg mutter lo lirdos v'mena mazon shaloshudo shal Shabbos. If it was done accidentally, okay, then he's allowed to take from it enough for three meals in Shabbos. And when he takes out the bread, right, he shouldn't. He should basically use a knife to peel it off, rather than using a mirda, which is like a baker's tool, which isn't as much of a problem today. Okay, so that's the halacha by bread. Okay, now the Rambam leaves cooking. Okay, so we're done with the main areas of cooking. Notice again in the Rambam, notice that the idea of raw, that by meats and other products is a benefit, right? In the case of bread, is a problem. Okay, bread doesn't work that way. Okay, so now that we're done with food, now the Rambam is going to move into another area of the last major area he deals with of malacha that's mutter to do in Erev Shabbos, that continues into Shabbos itself, and that's making fires/lights, okay? So a person on Erev Shabbos is going to light something, and because remember, yachde gecholim, or yachde, meaning stoking, can apply by fires as well. It's not just limited to stoking a coal for the purpose of cooking. There are other cases when it comes to providing light or heat where a person might stoke the coals. So the Rambam is going to focus now on what I can use to go ahead and make a fire. So he says, Osa ad medura mikol davar sheyirtze. So a person can make a fire, okay, from anything he wants to. Bein al gabi karka, bein al gabi menorah, right? Umalika mibod yom, okay, and he lights it on Friday. Umishtamish laora, umishamem connect davar Shabbos, okay? And so therefore, he can use whatever material he wants to light a fire on Erev Shabbos, and he's allowed to make use of the light, whether it means reading or benefiting from its heat, right, on Shabbos itself. Okay, v'tzarech sheyadlik. Of course, the qualification comes in. V'tzarech sheyadlik rov hamedura kodim chashecha ad shetehe shalheves olam me'elea kodim Shabbos. But what's critical is that he has to light the majority of what of the. Let's assume he's using wood. The majority of the wood must be kindled and lit before nightfall until the flame is rising up from it before Shabbos. Okay, v'im lohidlik ruba. Okay, but if he didn't light the majority, asu lahanos ba b'shabes gzeva shem yachdeba v'yanin ha'etzim kadesh tala hashalevis. So that makes a lot of sense. What's going to happen if he goes ahead? If he didn't light the majority, then he cannot benefit from this fire, because what's he going to do? He's going to go ahead and stoke the wood to make it burn more. Okay, so again, as long as the majority of the flame of the substance is lit, then it's mutter for him to benefit from it. But if it's not, the concern is he's going to go ahead and stoke the wood. Vim hidlik eitz yechidi, tzarech lahadlik rov avav rov hakifam vod yom. And if he lights one log, let's say, so then he's chayiv to go ahead and make sure that most of the branches on it and the majority of its thickness, okay, is lit before Shabbos. So that's if he, what do you call it, if he lit one, what do you call it, one piece of wood. Halacha chaf, b'med dvar amurim, b'gvulin. So all this applies to outside the base of Mikdash. Not everything in this parak, but specifically the halacha of lighting a fire. Avav v'mikdash, ma'achizin esa'or be'itzim meduras base amukad im chashecha, vein choshin shema yachta be'gacholim shakonam shuizin hein. So it was permitted to start a fire in the base mukad on Erev Shabbos, even without, in the base of Mikdash, even without lighting most of the fire. Because Kohanim, we're not worried about them being, stoking the coals, because the Kohanim are very careful when it comes to following mitzvahs. So the Gzira doesn't apply to them, since in the base of Mikdash. As a general rule of thumb, many halachas of Shabbos are excluded from the base of Mikdash. Okay, halacha chav aleph. Now, haisa medura shel kanim or shel garinin. Okay, so let's say he has a fire made out of, for example, seeds or reeds, which are very small little things. Einot sarach lahadlik arov. Right, he doesn't have to light the majority of it before Shabbos. Kevin shehisklop ahena eish konam Shabbos mutali shamish ba. Okay, so even if he didn't light the majority, it's muta for him to benefit from these types of fires in Shabbos. Why? Meisha eish nitlis behem b'mehera v'enot sarach lachdos, because it burns quickly. The equivalent today, by the way, would be, let's say I poured, I mean, I'm just saying, you could extrapolate, let's say I had wood, and I poured gasoline over the, over the wood. So I know it's going to light very quickly. So I don't have to worry about, in other words, again, there are certain materials that the thing will light up very, very quickly. So I don't have to worry about counting out rove. The thing will burn very, very quickly. Avikachim agar akanim oniach agarinim bechoslos harayin ke'etzim. Now, for example, if he tied up the reeds, right, instead of them having scattered, he tied them up into a bundle. At that point, since they're in the bundle form, they're going to burn slower, and therefore the issue of rove would still apply. Okay, finally, now, medura shel zefes, or ga'o shel gufris, or shel ravav, or shel kira, or shel kash, or shel gvava, enot sarach lahadlik ruba, kon mashavis, the eish melekos is on mehera. So all these examples here, one of them being, let's say, straw or sulfur, tar, whatever, all these things here, they light very quickly, and therefore it is permitted to, on Erev Shabbos, I don't have to light the majority, before Shabbos starts. Okay. Everything we did in Halacha in Perek Gimel, actually I should say everything, majority we did in Perek Gimel, has to do with cooking, okay? Now we're going to get to something called Hatmana. That's Perek Dalet. Perek Dalet deals with Hatmana. And Hatmana is really sealing in food, okay? So the normal case, I'm not going to talk about aluminum foil yet, but the normal case here is where food is covered, and the question is going to be, is what's covering the food doing? Is covering the food being mosif bishel? Meaning, is it helping the cooking process? Is it causing it to heat up more? Or is sealing it something that is simply maintaining heat? That's good. That's the huge nafkamina between how hatmana works. Okay, so as the Rambam explains in Lech Aleph, yesh dvarim sheim taman behen atavshil hu mischamem umosifim bishulo keina esh. There are certain things that when I seal in, okay, when I cover the food with this material, what does that material do? It causes more bishul to take place. It increases the heat. Could go on a gefes v'zevel melach v'sid v'chol. So just as an example, like sand or what do you call it, or zevel, all these things, or zagin umokin va'asavim bizman sheshlashan lachem, or let's say wet grape skins, okay? Vafilu machmas atzman. So certain things, okay, are, as he says, udvarm elu nigron davar hamosif hevel. There are certain things that if I cover my food with, they'll be mosif hevel. They will increase the heat and increase the cooking. Ve'esh dvarim shim tamam ben atafshil yishar b'chami muso bilfad. Ve'enan mosifin lo bishol. Okay, and there are certain things when I cover up the food with, they're not there. They don't go ahead and increase the cooking. Rather, what they do is they keep it warm. Okay, by the way, the English today you call that a warming tray, right? I'm not saying warming trays are. Well, get back into whether they're mutter or not. I'm just saying the idea of a warming tray is, whereas you seal it up, it keeps it warm. It just prevents it from getting cold. Kigon Zagin Mochan Masab Yvation, Uksusa Peros, Vakanfayona, Unaora Sapishtam, Vinasaurus Harashim, Shlachan Gizet Semer. So again, all these examples are things that if I covered up my food with, it would not be Mosif Hevel. Dvarmel, Nikron Davarsh in a Mosif Hevel. These are things that do not promote more cooking. So again, the prohibition, as you'll see, lies on things that do produce more cooking, but if the material you're using is only there to keep it warm, then it would not be considered something that is prohibited to use. So therefore, the Rambam says, Halacha Beis, 1 second. So in Halacha Beis, he says, Minadin, Haya Shetomnim B'davar Mosif Hevel B'bod Yom, V'Yishar HaTashel Tama B'Shabbos. So really, Midoraisa, okay, there'd be no problem whatsoever covering up a food before Shabbos, okay, that we know is going to be Mosif Hevel to the food, and leave it there, covered on Shabbos, right? Shehari Mishayin Al-Kabi Eish V'Shabbos. So just like by cooking, just like if I start the melacha of cooking before Shabbos, it should be usher to allow it to complete on Shabbos midoraisa, right? The same thing applies by hatmana. Aval asru chachamim lahatmin bedavra hamosef hevel mibod yom. Okay. However, the chachamim came along and said hatmana is prohibited for something that's mosef hevel on Friday. Why? Gzera shema tartia chakader b'Shabbos v'itzarech leglosa. Ad shetanua charasicha, the yachzor v'yichase b'Shabbos, v'nimsa tomein b'davar mosif hevel b'Shabbos shuaser. So that's a very simple reason why. What's going to happen? So what's going to happen is you're boiling your whatever you're making, your stew on Erev Shabbos, and you got your cover over it. Now what's going to happen? What's going to happen is that since it's what's he concerned about? He's concerned that the pot's going to boil over. So what's the person going to do? He's going to take off the cover. Okay, he's going to uncover the pot, okay, so that the boiling goes down. But then what's he going to do afterwards? He's going to replace the open pot with the cover again, right? And now he's actually doing hatmana, right, which is asur. Remember, hatmana on asur itself, hatmana on Shabbos itself is prohibited. So what's the problem here? It's not shema yachda gecholim. Rather, the problem is that he's going to take off the cover because he's concerned it's going to boil too much. He's going to leave it off for a minute or so and then want to put it back on when it's already Shabbos. That's usher to do. That's an issur d'oraisa. Levikach mutar lahatmin b'davar mosif hevel bein hashvashos. Interesting. That's why it's permitted to go ahead and do hatmana with something that's mosif hevel after shkia, before tzeis, on, on Erev Shabbos. Shestam kederos bein hashvashos kvar raschu. Because we can assume that most pots, right, that were put on Erev Shabbos, already by Bein Hashmashos, had boiled, right? V'nachu mibavuan uvekeman shenachu shuv ein roschen, right? And now, basically, they've stopped boiling, and as a result of stopping the boiling, so they're not going to boil again. We're not concerned about that taking place, that the guy will cover it again.